I want to get us, let's open the Bible. It's always a great thing to do. Luke chapter 14, there's a story in there, and we're going to look at it really quickly. And I want to just highlight a piece of it right out of the gate. So in Luke chapter 14, verse 15, it says, when one of those at the table with him heard what Jesus had just said, he said to Jesus, blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. This man kind of had this revelation that what Jesus was talking about at the kingdom, at the Last Supper, at the banquet. Who's ever been to a buffet? Man, I've been to a crazy buffet in the U.S. It was $50 to get in, and you had a big plate. It was like a platter. And at the station, it was every possible food group you could ever think of. You walk up, and there's king crab legs, there's sausage, there's brisket, there's all of a sudden we're moving into the pulled pork, we're moving into the pizza, into the pasta, into the sushi, into the cheese platter, into the fruits, into the veggies, and at the very, very end, all those salads and things you just didn't want. I mean, those are important too, but like you got yourself the meat first, and then you had the meat sweats, and then you got to the other stuff. I saw this one guy that was so brilliant, I thought, that guy's been here a few times. He had his plate, he had the king crab legs stacked like Jenga blocks on there. It's going to his table, like, I'm like, that guy is awesome, right? He probably had like $200 worth of king crab legs on one plate going to his table. And I was like, you can actually go back. It's an all-you-can-eat buffet, mate. Like, you don't need to get so aggressive with it. But, you know, they only put it out so often. So anyways, all-you-can-eat buffet. So we've all been at those kind of places. This guy gets just a kind of a twinkling of an eye that Jesus is talking about a buffet banquet in the kingdom, in heaven. And as excited as I get about that, I want to get excited like that for the kingdom's banquet. Like, that was good. I ate it, and I ate way too much. And then I looked over, I was like, I didn't even see the dessert buffet with the gelatos and the, oh my word. It was a long, painful drive home. I just want to say after that, oh my God. Like, you got to drive. I can't drive. I got to take a nap, you know? But anyways, this guy, when he heard the things that Jesus was talking about, he said, I want in on that action. I want to know more about that. I want to kind of sense that. When one of those at the table with him heard this. And so the man at the table, when Jesus talked about the kingdom of God, about this banquet that was coming, this feast, but he didn't quite fully understand what Jesus was saying. If we look at it in the context of where it founds or lands here in Luke chapter 14, the title is, in Luke chapter 14, Jesus at a Pharisee's house. So he's sitting with a bunch of non-believers, people that are like, ah, Jesus, good guy, lots of fun stories. I heard he walked on water and healed some people. Great. You know, we've seen things like this before, possibly. And so they're like, they're still questioning who this Jesus is, a good character, but I'm not sure if I'm going to follow his, I'm not going to follow him. And so there's this conversation that goes on amongst these non-believers. And this guy heard Jesus, said, that sounds good. That sounds like something I would desire, but I'm not sure if I'm all in. And so many people hear about this. I know for myself, I mean, you cannot be in this world. Maybe at some points, some parts of the world, yes, but especially here in Canada or North America, you can't go anywhere without hearing something about Jesus, or there's some kind of something for sale, or somebody's going to, you know, you're going to click on something, you're going to walk through the checkouts at Christmas, all these books about Jesus still does miracles, you're going to go in stores, there's a Christian section, there's like, it. You cannot not hear about it. Like, you're like, so everybody's heard about it, you watch a movie, like there's some kind of context somewhere out there that's going to, you're going to bump into it. And so when you hear about it, though, do you go, I would like more of that, or are you like me for 23 years, I was like, I actually don't want to hear about it. Stuff it. You know, stop talking about it. I'm not interested in it. But at some point, you come to your senses, like many of us, and that's why you're sitting here today. You didn't come to church because you were, like, against it. You're like, I hate church. And then you're like, oh, why am I in a church this morning? You know, like, why did I get up early and put on clothes to, you know, show up at church? Maybe you got invited this morning. You're like, I don't know much about church, but somebody invited me here, so I'm interested, much like this gentleman. He had heard about it. He was interested in it. And many people are interested in it, and they're excited about the idea. They want to hear about it. They're invited to this banquet. But sometimes the timing doesn't always line up. We're going to hear in the rest of the story, we'll unpack it in just a moment, a bunch of excuses. Man, I had a whole scroll, a whole book of excuses of why. You know, when I grew up in the church, my parents went, and all of a sudden things didn't pan out, and they got divorced, and look at what the church did to my own family. I hate God, I hate the church. Look at these people, what they did in the name of Christianity. Look at what these Christian brothers and sisters, you know, represented and how that played out in my life. I don't need church. I don't want God. And then what God does in his miraculous orchestration of all that, in my hatred towards church, when I grew up later on in life, went down to Vancouver, went up to Whitehorse, went back to Prince Rupert, and I thought, this is a church, you know. I'm working for a church now. I'm working for the Pentecostal church and a stupid church in Prince Rupert. Darn it, it's Pentecostal. You know my story. Like, what the? You know, obviously God does something just miraculous with even a little bit of a mess. God is in the business of redeeming and restoring things. So we too can resist or delay our response to God's invitation and come up with all these reasons and excuses why, you know, I'm busy, family responsibilities, all these other things going on in my life. But it is going to be the most important decision you've ever made. Now, yes, you know, spouse, yes, vehicle, yes, house, yes, vacation this year. I'm going to Prince George. I'm going to go to Costco. You know, I don't know where you're going. That's like an all-you-can-eat buffet there. I heard you just keep walking around. Oh, what's this? You know? Oh, thank you. And you like, that one was so good. You, oh, what's this? You know, pretend you're like, quit change jackets, you know, or something, right? As kids, you do that, right? One time they were giving away Ferrero Rochers, like for free. I might have had 3 or 12. I can't remember. I lost count. But you're like, this is the most important. I've got to have this. I've got to be intentional about it instead of making excuses. Now, when we talk about the final supper or the Lord's Supper and what that banquet would look like, we unpack it in the very last book of the Bible. So just briefly, we'll go here. Revelation chapter 19. So, you know, it's the very end of time. Jesus is about to come on his white horse. And so there's this reference to it. So important for us to see this. Revelation 19:6. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, "Hallelujah! For our God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice." That is a hallelujah moment, right? We've all been waiting. When Jesus starts coming down the cloud, finally he's here, man. I've been waiting my whole life for this moment. It's been so painful, Jesus, like hurry up and get here. But, you know, when that happens, we're going to be excited. We're like, finally, the buffet, you know, all you can eat, I'm there, you know, sign me up. "Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. When the angel said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. Then God and his beloved church will be joined together forever. There is an invitation for us, a specific RSVP invitation for you and I. Now, what we do in this church, some of you notice this, is that we kind of reserve a few seats in our church. And so we want specific areas to be able to be helpful for people. And so a long time ago when I grew up in Prince Rupert, you heard briefly about the church experience that I had. It was pretty negative. It was hard. And so when Omni and I moved to Whitehorse, years into that, Prince Rupert, the church there, their pastor had resigned and moved on, and they were looking for a pastor. And somebody on the search committee actually phoned me in Whitehorse and said, would you like to come to Prince Rupert? And I said, I love Prince Rupert. I grew up there. All the police know me. It's a brilliant place. You know, we're buddies. We're still friends, you know, those people. And I thought, I would love to go there. I wanted to go there personally, but I know God made it really clear that the door was closed. I was not to go there. He had another assignment for me. Tariff. You know, that's why I'm here. Really. He's got one amen on that person. I give them a raise. Reserve seating for this person over here. Red carpet. No, I'm just joking with you. So I had this great conversation with this person. And then we ended up moving down here years later. And this person actually left Rupert and then moved here. And then we know most recently that this person, many of us know, some of us don't know, this person had a stroke. And this person was met back to Vancouver. And this person is a personal friend of mine. And it was so difficult to see God orchestrate all that to bring us together as a family. And then to see you medevac to Vancouver as Adrian comes down in the morning to look at Caroline. She's on the floor, like unresponsive. And then this morning, I have a reserved seat and an invitation for you, Caroline. You're here this morning. It was reserved, and here you are this morning in the presence of God. So hallelujah. Praise God. Man, it's so good. I can't believe I kept it together there. When I saw you this morning, I just shed tears like crazy. Because God has invited her. This is her church. And her physical body has not enabled her to be here recently, but God has redeemed her and brought her back, and she's doing well. Praise God. Hallelujah. So good to hear. So Caroline, again, is like a family friend of mine. And so when I came here, you're all my family, but you know, there's a bit of a, almost like a bloodline connection there over all these years. So I was so grateful for that. So when we think about our God is the same way, he cares so passionately about us that he is invited and he's earmarked and he has a great seat for you at that table. He wants you to be there. And so when he invites you, let us never respond like we're about to read. Now, this is the negative side of the context. We've got to always hear that, right? They always look at, you know, like, yay, yay. But then there's reality. We have to face reality. And how do we respond to God's invitation? So we're going to unpack that a little bit. So I just want to prep you for that. It's been all happy, happy to this point. Now I'm going to get really hard on you. I'm joking. You know how, I don't know. Have you ever seen me get hard on you yet? 7 years almost. Let's see how this goes. I'll try. I'm praying about it. So back to the story. Luke chapter 14, verse 15. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom." And so when he had just heard something, what had he just heard? So we'll just back it up just a couple verses. Again, Luke 14, go to verse 12. Then Jesus said to his host, again, he's been invited to this Pharisee's house. They're sitting here. And then Jesus has a conversation with the host. When you give a luncheon or dinner like the one that he's at, don't invite your friends, your brothers or relatives or rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back. And so you will be repaid in a sense. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor. I want to unpack poor in just a second. The crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although he can't repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Whoa, that's a deep thought, eh? When we do things, our motives are super important as well. Is that, yes, we want to be a blessing to people, but why are we doing it? We're thinking like, I'm going to go be a blessing to the poor so that I look like I'm doing good things. Like, you should have seen how much money I gave to the poor the other day. Or how many things I, you know, look at those craft dinners I brought, like a, you know, Costco truckload or dinner, and you're like, yay, you know, look at me. No. God's saying, like, do things so that people don't know it's you doing it, and do it to people that cannot repay you in a sense. And so when we think about the poor, though, if we unpack that word, I think if we looked at crippled, lame, and blind, that's pretty self-explanatory. But poor in our culture today, I think, is misinterpreted, because we can think about the idea of a beggar, a person with few resources, maybe culturally a little bit awkward or out there or unhoused, all these kind of words. But there's also a lame way for this to be unpacked with the word poor. Realizing they have nothing to offer God, but are in need of God's free gift. That's poor, poor in spirit. Many of us can, you know, not be unhoused on the street beggars, but we can be poor in spirit. See, our brokenness and our dysfunction and all those kind of things, we have nothing to offer God. God, I am a disaster. What would I ever be able to offer you? And all of us have been there at some point in life. This is when the church, the kingdom, those that follow the way, those that are Christian, follow Jesus, this is when we reach out. This is where we focus. We say, look, this person needs God in their lives, and I want to help be a conduit to help bring Jesus into their lives, because I can see that they're poor and hurting. You don't actually even need to ask a question. I think visually we can see that. We see somebody that's unhoused on the street, you're thinking, they're poor, they're in need, here's some money or something, right? That's very obvious to us. External things, they don't have a vehicle, like that. We can see that. But you can see the same spirit in people that are in the government or in the police department or, you know, at LNG or in the grocery store. You can just see, you turn the corner, you see a person, you're like, this person is poor in spirit. You can see it on their face and the way that they walk and the way that they conversation with you. It's very negative and hurting and exhausting and all that kind of stuff. And so this is where we come. This is where God is saying, Be a blessing to them. Invite them into a conversation so that you can bring the presence of God into their day. What a wonderful thought process, right? So those are the kind of things that we want to do. Now, here's the way that some people will respond. And I responded this way, and that's why it makes so much sense to me, is that when somebody did something like that to me, I said, go away. I don't want you. Leave me alone. I don't care about this free gift or two for one or whatever you want to talk about or this Holy Spirit guy. No. No, thank you. But it was all of those seeds that again and again and again that people were inviting and blessing. And I just thought, I don't want any of that. I want to live this terrible life. I just want to hold on to my sadness. You know, blah. Go away. And then I realized, like, this thing sucks. I like what they have, but it took a while. It's a process. It's a journey. Don't give up thinking like, oh, I witnessed to this guy one time and he kicked me in the face. I don't witness anymore. Witnessing doesn't work. Like, you're crazy talk. How many times did somebody witness to you or be an example to you? Or how long did it take you to make an adjustment to accept Jesus? It's a journey with them. Let me even just say this. I'm on a rabbit trail, I apologize, but it's super important to understand this. If the person like that is your family, relative, or your neighbor never comes to Jesus, you still honk and love them to the day that they die, because you never know. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up on your own son. Don't ever give up on your own daughter. Don't ever give up on your neighbor. Don't ever give up on your coworker. You never know. And what you're doing is you're following Scripture. You are loving people like God commanded us to love people, regardless of the outcome. It's not like, oh, I do that because I get a good outcome. You know, I'm shooting about 90% when I go up to bat. You know, 90% of people come to know the Lord after I talk to them. Oh, that person's a hard person. Get them to meet with me. I'll lead them to the Lord. Like, you're that's crazy. That's silliness. So, I don't even know where I am anymore. I'm joking. We're going to keep unpacking this thing. Verse 16. Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. We're all invited. Every person is invited. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. I will unpack all of this story in just a moment. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I just bought a field. I must go and see it. Please. At least he's nice about it. Excuse me. I'm sad too, thinking about the idea that this guy rejected him. Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. At least he was nice about it. Still another said, I just got married. I'm going on my honeymoon, so I can't come. See you later. You know, he wasn't very nice about it. The servant came back and reported to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered the servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Sir, the servant said, what you have ordered has been done, but there's still more room. That's our God. There's always room. You're never too late. Don't think, oh, it's too late. I didn't arrive. You know, he's not going to make me a room because we're, you know, we're going to post a little addition on the house. Like, lots of room in God's house. Never too late. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and make them come in so that my house may be full. Thank you, Lord. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. There's a very deep thought right there. So let's begin to just unpack this, verse by verse. So in verse 16, Jesus replied, a certain man has prepared a great banquet and invited his guests. So culturally at this time, you've got to understand is that typically what would happen is 2 invitations would go out. So you would mark your calendar like most of us do. And so you usually get emails or you get these little handouts from our church all the time about things that are happening. So here's like the first invitation. So we say, hey, in the next 4 months, these are all the things that we're going to do as a church. So you get this little kind of invitation. And so what happens later on, though, as we get closer to the idea, then Ben and I get up here and just start, you know, yabbering off like every Sunday for about 3 or 4 weeks in a row. Don't forget, it's in 3 weeks. Don't forget, it's in 2 weeks. Don't forget, it's next week. Actually, it's here. It's like in an hour. Don't forget. Make sure you're there. Hopefully you're going to make it. So there's like these 2 invitations that would happen culturally. So you would know to book the time off so that it would be an important event on the calendar so you wouldn't plan anything else. Like these other characters planned other events at the same time. So don't ever plan anything else again on anything that we do here as a church. It's not scriptural. At least show up to a couple of them, man. Come on, like, this would be good for you. Anyways, have some fun with you. Ben and I will be there. It'd be great. Okay, so context. When does this happen in real life? Okay, I got 2 slides for you this morning. The first slide is, I actually received some invitations this year to some big events. So I don't want to book myself for these things. Carter in Aurora, you know, yahoo! I think they're out of town though, aren't they? Yeah, so they're gonna get married. Tommy and Anne, see you guys over there. Hallie and Darren, where, you know, you got, what? These guys are all out of town. Like, what's going on here? Like, you can't celebrate the honeymoon early, but anyways, so there they are. So we've got the invitation, and so we've booked it on our calendar. And then, so the next slide shows, so Omni and I lock into this idea is like, if you're going to be married in this church, we're going to walk you through Christian counseling for about 3 or 4 sessions. And so this is their very first certificate, card and roar. I'm not even here to celebrate, but that's like their first document that has their last name on it together. And then Hallie and Darren as well. So we walk through this premarital counseling. So can you imagine? So I've got invited. They've asked me to do the premarital. And then the day of the wedding, please excuse me. I have to go do something. I'm sorry. I can't make it. Like, can you imagine what that would happen? Like, we got to phone another pastor. Like, somebody's going to marry these people. Like, what's going on? Like, it would be chaos. It would be nuts. Okay, in a small context, Jesus is saying the same thing here. He's saying, I invited you. I've set the table for you. I've even built a house for you. And there'll be all these rewards in heaven for you. And when I show up one day, are you still going to know me? Are you still going to remember me? Or will you make excuses to not, you know, follow me in my ways? Whoa, isn't that a heavy conviction? I mean, it's a good conviction. It's a healthy one. But we need to not use any excuse. When Jesus speaks to us individually or as a church, we cannot use excuses. Let us never use an excuse. We need to be obedient, obedient, obey, obey. You're going to hear this in my voice in the next couple, 3 sermons. I've just really felt pressed on my heart, like, being obedient to Christ. So when we read something in Scripture, like, and it's like, that's pushing my buttons. I want to push that button. I want to get over that hill. I want to get through that wall because God is on the move and he's up to something in and through us and in our church. And that's exciting to me. So thank you for God's word. Praise Jesus. That's exciting to think about. So again, when that invitation went out, they had marked off their calendar. They had kind of marked a day off. They say, kind of, okay, that's the day I need to make sure I'm there. I'm going to be invited. The guests in Jesus' stories that we just read, really, it insulted the master. It insulted the landowner. It insulted the person hosting the event. Like, again, if I didn't show up on the day, I would be insulting these two families for not showing up. Oh, sorry, something more important came up. I couldn't make it. Like, that would not be very cool. I probably wouldn't have a job. Where do you work? I might need a job later on in life. You know? Like, it just wouldn't be great. Okay, so let's unpack that just a little bit more. So that's just kind of like, okay, I can connect with that. I can understand that. But culturally, what was going on here? Jesus, again, is sitting at a table of non-believers. He's sitting there with Pharisees and Sadducees and religious leaders, people that didn't know Jesus. That sounds nice, Jesus. Jesus, you always say nice things. I'd like to know more about that. But here's what it was saying. And these people would have understood this. And they still made excuses. Here's what it's saying. Israel's history, if we went back to the Old Testament, God's first invitation came through Moses and came through all of these prophets that we read about. There was this invitation that Jesus is going to come one day. You got to get your life right. You got to get ready. There's that first invitation. Don't forget. And what did people do to those kind of people? Kind of killing them, not listening to them. And said, oh, yeah, blah, 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 Jesus, what's this God coming down to earth stuff? You know, it's been hundreds of years. He's never going to show up, right? Then he shows up in the New Testament. Jesus is sitting at the table. He's that second invitation that's right in front of their face. And they didn't believe him. They didn't, you know, understand that Jesus was the Son of God. And they're sitting there. It's insulting to Jesus that he's sitting there and he's telling them about a day that's about to happen. And they're like, oh, yeah, not really interested. I mean, it sounds fun. The banquet, oh, food, yeah, I'm all in, you know. But no. It's the Son of God. And so thus the master in the story, when we read about it, right? Table set, everyone's ready, and people are using excuses, not showing up. The master of that house says, go out and find people in the community. And this is like take the gospel to the ends of the earth kind of thought process. Go out into the community, get everybody you can, get them all in here. And there's still more room. Go out into the byways and go out all across the world and share the gospel and bring them in because there's still more room in my house. And that's what it's meaning. Just fill up God's house because Jesus is here. And many needy people need to know that God's kingdom is going to arrive, and are we ready? Let's not use excuses as we wait patiently for him to come. Let's be in anticipation. Let's be in excitement. Another day, maybe I could help somebody find Jesus before he arrives one day. Get that invitation into their hands in a sense. Verse 17 says, at the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything's now ready for them. Again, that invitation would have went out. The first invitation, they would have RSVP'd him back. He would have said, yes, we're coming, I'm good. And then they just came up with all these excuses, all these lame excuses started coming out. Verse 18, but all were alike, began to make excuses. The first said, I just bought a field. Now again, we've got to understand in those times what that looked like. Okay, so you just bought a field. Okay, so for you and I, let's use the idea of like a vehicle. Okay, you buy a vehicle. You don't just kind of like buy it sight unseen. I know sometimes we do that. We have to buy it online and ship it to us, and hopefully it still has an engine inside of it when it arrives. But most of the time when you go buy anything, like a house, you're like, I'm going to go buy a house. You're like, you give a check. No, man, you got to walk the house. You want to just like kick the wall, make sure it's okay, look at the foundation, bring a guy to inspect it, all that kind of stuff. So if you're going to go buy something, you're going to spend a lot of time in research. You're going to be working with bankers and the timing of all that. But even knowing still, you're like, okay, I got this important date on the calendar. I'm going to buy a house and a vehicle. Like, you're going to work around that. You're not going to all of a sudden, the day of that you're going to arrange buying this item or this house or this vehicle, like, oh, sorry, this thing came up, I have to go there. I've had all this time to arrange buying the house and buying the vehicle, but now it's interfered with my decision to be at the banquet. Like, that's poor organization. That's poor scheduling on this person's behalf. And so that's what it's referring to. And the people, again, at that time would have understood that. They'd understand all the moving parts. I know we have papers and lawyers and all kinds. It would have been similar back then. It would have had similar kind of feelings. And so we can't use excuses like that. We notice that these excuses would have been hard, like on the host to hear. It would have grieved to me. It was like, what's going on here? And again, it's in our minds, our spiritual thinking is that I've sent my son Jesus for you. Don't use excuses. Why are you waiting? Like when somebody offers to like a salvation prayer and you're not saved, like just do it, like go. And somebody says, hey, do you want to be water baptized? Just do it. And say somebody wants to, you want to get involved in a ministry? You just jump all in. Like do the things that God is calling you to do. God wants you to say yes to this invitation. And so again, last Sunday, we would have saw a lot of that. We saw some people just raise their hands and they were just like, they're just filled. There was, this invitation was presented and they said yes to the invitation and it just began a journey. So there's one reason. Verse 19 says, and another, so this is the second person, I just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. I don't know how you try them out, but please excuse me. So this guy's loaded, obviously. And he obviously has a big piece of property because 5 yokes of oaks are yokes of oxen, those guys, yep. So you got yourself a yoke, so you got to have 2, so there's 5 of them, so you got 10 of these things. Like, you're going to be able to do a lot of plowing. And so, like, is it like an engine? Do you just kind of like, vroom, you just rev it up and watch the oxen go? Vroom. Like, how do you test 5 yoke of oxen? Like, that's a lot of, material that would be moved around. You think, yeah, that guy's, because you wouldn't walk the oxen, like, oh, the old grandpa oxen, it doesn't do any work. He just laid around and just ate and slept. I don't want 5 of those kind of oxen. So again, you've got a field. We know the harvest season. You know that your tractor just broke. So now you need a new tractor, new oxen. And so there's all these stages of moving parts. And again, the timing of that, if your tractor breaks, you're like, oh, darn it. You're like, I'm invited to this thing over here. Okay, I'll go look at that. I'll do the banquet and then I'll go there. Or like, again, we've got to plan these things. Like it's very clear. And when we don't, we say, oh, please excuse me. Oh, more important things. God calls you to do something. Oh, more important things. Like, that to me is crazy. I did that for 23 years. Like, oh, God, was calling out to me. He's reaching out to me. I see you in your pain. I see you in your suffering, son. I want to help you. I said, oh, I don't want any of that business. I got more important things to worry about God in my life. Like, that's lunacy, isn't it? And so I've walked that. And I know what that feels like. But God here is saying, get your ducks in a row here. Verse 20, so the very last stubborn, yahoo, moron, idiot kind of guy. scripturally, that's what it interprets, just so you know. In verse 20, it says, still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. Like, that's super rude. Like, you book something. How dare you get married? What's wrong with you? I'm being silly now, but Like, you've booked this event. You were invited. There's a specific seat for you. You have your nice little reserved seating here for so-and-so. Hello, you know, come on in. And no, I just got married. Oops. Like, I just was walking down the road one day, and it's like, oh, hey, how you doing? Yeah, you want to get married? Oh, sure, perfect. And all of a sudden, your whole life was changed. No. And that whole, because of courtship, especially back in this day, there is a gigantic courtship that took months and years of preparation. You had to build yourself a house, and then you go knock on, is it okay? I like your daughter. Is it okay if, you know, we court? And then I got my house. I got my, all my stuff in order. Is it okay? You know, da-da-da-da-da. It goes on and on and on. It didn't just oopsedly happen. And this gentleman is so in love with this moment and this person, which is a good thing. It's more important than Jesus, though. Wow. That's an eye-opener. Didn't even say sorry. Didn't even say excuse me. Like, oh, I just happened to do, I just totally forgot about all these moving parts and me hanging out with you. No. So I can't come. Whoa, that would be rude. Sorry, God, I can't do that. Sorry, God, I can't come. Sorry, God, I can't commit to that. Sorry. Like, those are difficult words for you and I. And I pray in Jesus' name, and I don't say this so that I just make you, all of you, feel bad. Like, you guys aren't even saying yes to anything. Like, that's not in my voice. But what I'm saying to each one of us and to myself, whenever I preach, I'm preaching to myself first, and then hopefully we learn together. This year in 2025, man, I'm excited. 90th anniversary, if I could say that right. Moving towards our 100th anniversary in the next 10 years. We're going to unpack some things and start some things. I'm really excited. I want to share a bit more with you next Sunday about it. Didn't have time this Sunday about it. But I want to say yes to God. I don't want to say things like, sorry, God, as a church, we can't do what you're asking us because we're limited by people or resources or all that kind of, that's nonsense. I want to just open up the scriptures and allow the Lord to speak to Pastor Ben and the board and us as leaders and say, and all we want to say is yes, yes. I don't know what it looks like, how long it will take or whatever. I just want to say yes. And I pray that us as individuals, you as families would do the same this year. Whatever's happened in the past, you know, the last couple of years or even last week or something, this is something brand new and fresh. God is saying, would you be obedient to whatever I'm asking you to do? Would you say yes to me? And I saw this kind of breakout last Sunday. A bunch of people just raised their hands. Yes to Jesus. That's what we're talking about, obedience to God. That's exciting. I really want to do that. That's going to be great. Looking forward to it. Let's just look at this very last few kind of verses here, and then we'll wrap things up. Verse 21, the servant came back and reported to this master. The owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant to go out quickly into the streets and the alleys and the towns and bring in the poor and the crippled and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you have ordered us has been done. There's still room. We kind of unpacked that a little bit. Then the master told his servant, go out into the roads, into the country lanes, and make them all come in so that my house may be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. Again, those that kind of turned their back on the Lord, those that didn't receive that invitation. So again, we want the kingdom to be full of people. We want as many people around that table as we can. And so what would that look like? And for that time and that day, and those people that sat at that table, many people weren't welcome. We think about the beggars, the lame, and the cripple, and that kind of stuff. Even in the Jerusalem, in the temple, it was like those people were not welcome. That's why you would read about them in the gospel. It would say they were left outside at the gates to beg and to, you know, because they were dirty, they were unclean, they were unworthy. And so these kind of people were just sitting at the table, all just like kind of posh and had it all together and got food on the table and had no worries in their lives. And so the kingdom is for everybody, though. Jesus sat there and talked to the privileged. Jesus also reminded the privileged to not forget about what we would consider as lame and poor and unhoused, all that kind of stuff. The gospel's for the whole gamut, right? So wherever you sit this morning, whether you think like you're privileged and you have it all, or you feel like you have nothing, maybe you feel like spiritually you have lots to give. Maybe you're sitting here today, spiritually you feel like you have nothing to give. The whole story is for all of us because God wants all of us to sit there and he wants all of us to be encouraged by that. So God has invited you. God is knocking on the door of your heart. And would you say yes to him today? That's my invitation to you. So would we be obedient to that today? That's my whole purpose. That's my goal over the next few sermons is about, are we wanting to be obedient to God? I don't know what he's saying specifically to you. Okay, so we heard the message. We're invited to the banquet. We know that Jesus is going to come at the end. That's great. But what is he saying to you right now? What is he saying to you today? The first invitation's gone out. You've said yes to Jesus. And now he's going to come one day with that second invitation. Come with me to the banquet. But in the meantime, I don't want to just sit back idly, man. I want to press in. I want to say, there's more to do in the kingdom. There's more to do in my journey, in my own personal development, in my own personal struggles and pains and sorrows. And I want to say yes to Jesus. I just want to say, whatever, God, whatever you want to do. So let's just bow our heads for a moment and close our eyes just so we're not distracted. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, God, for your word that is the truth and the authority. And Lord, I feel like I say this often. It's not my words that has the authority to change anyone's life. It's only the truth of your word. And so, God, as we looked at it today, we unpacked the truth of what Jesus said in that moment to those people that resonates with us today. Lord, it's like we just heard it afresh and anew from your lips, from your word. And because we heard it like that, change happens in the spiritual realm. And so, Father, whether one person or many today heard and were encouraged and are saying yes to whatever you're asking them to do, praise God. We don't do this for glory or for numbers. We do this for one reason. We do this for our Heavenly Father. We want to bless you, Lord. We want to see Jesus lifted high. We want to see Jesus lifted high in our own personal lives and our personal families and our church and our ministries and in our community. Please help us to do that, Lord. Lord, as a church, we are like poor beggars. And we have our hands open. And we're asking, God, that you would fill our hands. Not with materialistic things, not with the pleasures of this world, but would you fill our hands with spiritual blessings? God, you said in heaven that we would be rewarded for the things that we've done here on this earth. That's the cry of our heart today, Lord. Use our hands, use our feet, use our mouths, want our whole bodies to be used for bringing glory to Jesus. Glory to your ways. Father, sometimes I sure feel this physical body is a gigantic a nuisance. It feels like it limits me sometimes. But Lord, you said even in our suffering, you will bring glory to your name. So Lord, even as I'm hurting, even this morning, you will use that to bring glory to your name. So God, we thank you. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.